From our bureau in Wausau, this is Morning Edition on WPR News. I'm Shireen Seward. Author and researcher Chad Lewis has spent decades exploring hidden histories and legends, including details about Wisconsin's gangster past. Chad joins us today to explore the darker side of the state's history and uncover how Prohibition-era gangsters like Al Capone and John Dillinger used the Northwoods as both a retreat and a refuge from the law. Chad, welcome.
Greetings from the Northwoods of Wisconsin.
Chad, what was it about the Northwoods that drew in gangsters like Al Capone and John Dillinger?
Not only were we positioned close to Chicago and St. Paul, two of the biggest prohibition hideouts or safe havens for criminals around the world, they loved the Wisconsin Northwoods the same reason we love it, the beauty of it, the relaxation. They would come up to the Northwoods and remember, most of these men, even though they were diehard gangsters and dangerous, dangerous criminals, they were avid outdoorsmen. They loved to hunt. They loved to fish, as most men did of that era. So they wanted to vacation the same way we do in the Northwoods. And the Northwoods back then has the same belief it has today. You can be as weird and wild as you want, as long as you're not harming anyone else. Free to go at it.
Well, how did local residents and police react to their presence?
Well, the local residents loved it because it was spreading money throughout the community. Oftentimes, they would come up in the dead of the winter when it was completely dead up in the Northwoods. It wasn't filled with Chicago tourists like it is today. And they were throwing around money as though they had just robbed a bank. So that should have been their first clue for the residents, but they loved it. Now, the police, they turned a blind eye. Many of them didn't believe in prohibition. Most of the prohibition arrests during that era were done by federal agents, not the local agents, local sheriffs. So, for instance, when Al Capone was heading up to his lodge up near Couderay, he would have his men call up to the sheriff's department and say, the boys are coming up this weekend. And the sheriffs would literally hold out their hands and say, what can we do to help? Because they knew that it would bring money and payoffs, and they weren't going to risk their lives over somebody bootlegging. So it was a blind eye up there, which is one of the reasons the gangsters loved it.
The shootout with John Dillinger at Little Bohemia Lodge in Manitowish Waters has to be one of the most infamous gangster incidents in Wisconsin. Can you walk us through what happened?
So Dillinger shows up in April of 1934. John Dillinger, public enemy number one, the most infamous bank robber in the world. And they show up wanting to rent the entire place for the whole weekend. Of course, money was no object because it wasn't for them. And in the beginning, the owners were very excited. They needed the business. The gangsters were telling great stories. They were tipping really well. They were buying all the rounds. The only thing that bothered the owners is that all of the men seemed to have a large lump on the side of their jacket. But they would find out what those lumps were. Don't worry, because throughout the weekend, they smuggled out information on a matchbox that Dillinger was up in Manitowish Waters. They finally got word down to the FBI division in Chicago, and Melvin Purvis flew up and they started to come up with their plan when they met at a place called Voss's Birchwood Lodge, a resort that's still there today, just south of Little Bohemia. And there they got the news that Dillinger was about to leave at any moment. He had an uncanny knack of knowing when things weren't right. So he just raced over there expecting to arrest him on his way out. But unfortunately for the FBI, three local CCC workers came out after a night of drinking and eating there, and the feds panicked. They thought it was Dillinger. So they opened fire on these three men, killing one of them, injuring the other two. That's when all hell broke loose at Little Bohemia. Babyface Nelson, who was staying in a side cabin, came out guns blazing, shooting at the FBI, and then he ran into the woods and the rest of the gangsters escaped. They had a detailed escape plan, and it was this. They simply crawled out the back window. The federal authorities, while trying to capture the most elusive men in America, did not know there was a nice little ravine that the gangsters could hop down into by the water The gangsters were gone for hours before the FBI finally decided to shoot gas in there, tear gas into the building. The gangsters were all gone. Some of them were back in St. Paul at a speakeasy that very night. So it was a huge embarrassment. Babyface Nelson ended up killing an FBI agent on his way out, shooting up the Northwoods. It was a huge fiasco.
How accurate are the stories that we hear today? Are there any common myths or exaggerations that you're aware of?
Speaking of Little Bohemia, one legend that's been told for decades is that they buried the gangsters buried $100,000 in money on the property somewhere, and you can go up and look for it. But I tend not to believe that legend because the gangsters would leave behind almost everything, their weapons, their wives, God forbid, their mistresses, but they often wore money belts and they would never leave behind money because they knew, much like today, money could get them out of anything. They could walk up to a farm, ring the knock on the door, you know, get the farmer out of bed and say, "Would you drive us into town for $100? And the farmer would have drove them to Florida for $100. So they knew money could get them out of anything. So I tend not to believe that, but part of me loves the idea that every time I'm at Little Bohemia, I'm kicking around the leaves and dirt on the property just in case, because you never know. Because Little Bohemia did keep the bullet holes in the windows and the bullet holes in a lot of the rooms. They have the memorabilia from when the gangsters left. They even advertised that their food's so good, Dillinger only left because he had to.
Chad, thank you for sharing your research with us and all of these great stories. We truly appreciate it.
Keep an eye out.
If you have an idea about something in central Wisconsin you think we should talk about on Morning Edition, send it to us. Our email address is central@wpr.org. And remember, you can always find great stories from WPR News, including this one, online at WPR.org. I'm Shereen Seward. From our bureau in Wausau, this is Morning Edition on WPR News.